I want to say thank you as you're seated for last week. It was very special. So thank you for, I didn't know, my wife usually cannot surprise me. She's really not, that's not her strength usually. But she was able to, I had no idea. So I want to say thank you so much for that. The cards and the gift certificates and the offering, it was special to me. And so thank you so much for that. I guess that kicked off the month of Thanksgiving. And that's what we'll be looking at this month on Sundays and, of course, the Thanksgiving Eve service. One thing about the Thanksgiving Eve service, I know a lot of people have to prepare for Thanksgiving dinner the next day, but I was wondering maybe if we can just get some, like a 30-hour or 30 minutes of pumpkin pies or apple pies or something like that after in that same room. Is everybody okay with that? If we can somehow work that out, talk to the elders about that. That'd be just a nice way to end the service there if you have 15 or 20 minutes after service on that evening. But today, as mentioned, we'll start, and the next 3 weeks will be sermons tailored toward thanks and thanksgiving. And today we're going to look at a passage in the Gospel of Luke, which is well known, about the 10 lepers. And there's a lot to learn from this passage in regard to thanks and many other subjects as well. Let's open up in prayer, then I'd like to read just a little bit or give a little bit of explanation of leprosy. I'm sure you know what it is, but just get a little bit more in depth. So if you'd please join me in prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you. We say thanks today in the form of communion, the bread and the cup, the remembrance of this ultimate sacrifice. We say thanks today for the weather, for the people that are here. You love your people so immensely, so dearly. Lord, I thank you for those little cries in the back, signs of life, Lord. We thank you for the family of God, and we thank you for your holy, inspired word, which endures to all generations its truth. And so, Lord, I would ask, Holy Spirit, would you teach today, leading people to Jesus Christ? It's in that name that we pray. And all of Spencer Port Bible said, amen. Just to give you a little background again, with leprosy, and many of you are familiar, and we don't, in the United States of America, you're probably not going to see leprosy very often, if at all. But it still exists in other parts of the world, in particular India, which I've had the honor of going to once on a medical missions trip. It's a chronic, curable now, not then, from the passage we're going to read, but a chronic, curable, infectious disease, mainly causing skin lesions and nerve damage, still 2 to 3 million cases worldwide today. 60% of the world's cases actually are in India. And so with that alone, we have so much to be thankful for. Could you imagine if you actually had this disease of leprosy? And a lot of people will ask, and I'll expound a little bit more upon this condition, but a lot of people will ask what the will of God is in their life to stay with this Thanksgiving theme, and I'm going to answer it for you today. I'm going to tell you what God's will is for you today. Okay? I'm not claiming to be a prophet, by the way, but I'm going to speak prophetically from the Word of God, which is prophetic. This is the will of God. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So if you're wondering what the will of God is for your life as we continue this message, be thankful. Be thankful. In everything, good, bad, everything in between, be thankful people. That will bring glory to God. To go back to the leprosy in the Bible, the word leprosy is mentioned upward of 40 times depending on the Bible version. Leprosy, as I mentioned, was common in Bible times, and the many references to it were well understood by those who lived in unsanitary conditions. The main reason why leprosy is talked about so much in the Bible is that it's a graphic illustration of sin's destructive power. In ancient Israel, leprosy was a powerful object lesson of the debilitating influence of sin in a person's life. Still holds true today. God had given the Israelites very specific instructions on how to deal with leprosy and other skin infections, and you can look at that on Leviticus 13 if you want. It's very detailed, very elaborate, hard to believe that that was done by the priests for this infection or disease, but it was, and it's explained very thoroughly in Leviticus 13 if you want to read it on your own time. Anyone suspected of having this disease had gone to a priest for examination. If found to be infected, the leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, "Unclean! Unclean!" He shall remain as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. The leper then was considered utterly unclean physically and spiritually. Many believed God inflicted the curse of leprosy upon people for the sins they committed. In fact, those with leprosy were so despised and low that they were not allowed to live in any community with their own people. That's Numbers chapter 5, verse 2. Among the 61 defilements of ancient Jewish laws, leprosy was second only to a dead body in seriousness. A leper wasn't allowed to come within 6 feet of any other human, including his own family. The disease was considered so revolting that the leper wasn't permitted to come within 150 feet of anyone when the wind was blowing. Lepers lived in a community with other lepers until they either got better or they died. This was the only way the people knew to contain the spread of the contagious form of leprosy. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the isolation, the ostracization, the alienation of being a leper in these biblical times? Can you imagine the discouragement, the loneliness? Humans then were like humans now. They had emotions, they had feelings. Could you imagine this? And yet this is a picture, as we get into the text, of our condition, separated from God, standing afar off, only one way to be cleansed of this horrific, damning disease, the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And so with that in mind, let's look at Luke chapter 17, starting with verse 11. It says, "And it came to pass, as he," that's Jesus, "went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee." And we, last week was the woman at the well at Samaria. And how often Jesus goes through Samaria? He said last week he had to go through Samaria. Today he's passing through Samaria. And the Samaritans, as we learned last week, they were like lepers to the Jewish people. Jewish people were not going to have any relations with the Samaritans until Jesus showed up and changed everything. And actually showed people he came for the lepers. Jesus came for the lepers. He came for the outcast, the downtrodden, the brokenhearted. All those that are cast out by society, Jesus came for those. Not the prim and proper. Do you remember what Jesus said to the Pharisees? When he was talking about John the Baptist, he said, "What did you expect to see? What did you expect? Didn't you expect to see this guy dressed in camel's hair, loincloth?" No, you didn't. You expected to see someone dressed in king's apparel. A reed blowing in the wind. No, no, that's not who will represent me. The person that will represent me will be meek and lowly, like myself. It'll be broken. They'll rely on my strength. As the Apostle Paul said, "In weakness, the strength of the Lord comes. His grace is sufficient." And so, Jesus once again, passing through Samaria, it says in verse 12, "And as he entered into a certain village," doesn't tell us what village, but a certain village, "there met him 10 men that were lepers." 10, why? Because they lived in colonies. They couldn't live amongst the regular community. They couldn't come into the local fellowship. They wouldn't be accepted. They look different. They act different. They're unclean. And I pray that's not the mentality of any church that's having service right now. Because the tendency for all of us is to become religious. The tendency for all of us is to become complacent. This is how we do things. This is how we've always done things. This is how we do it. This is what we're supposed to look like. This is how you're supposed to dress. And Jesus says, no, none of that. Those are man-made doctrines. Those are man-made rules. I came to show you that's all wrong. I came to show you that it's not about what they look like with skin lesions and nerve damage, but what's on the inner man. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And these people that were literally shunned by society were about to be seen by Jesus. That still holds true today. The person with the piercings, the tattoos, the wild hair. Did you see that? I'm a big fan of those progressive commercials. And my fellow phys ed teacher last year at North Star, him and I would laugh at one in particular. They're in the, you know, the progressive commercials, the humor is trying to teach these people not to become like their parents. And they're in one of the scenes, they're in this Home Depot or some store, and this guy's walking by him with blue hair. And the gentleman's saying, we all see it. And he's like, they have blue hair. That's not how we're supposed to be in the church. You're supposed to embrace people when they come into your church, into your sanctuary, because we are the church. This is the temple. This is the sanctuary. How easy it is to forget that. I might offend some Baptists here, but I've said this before. There's Baptists I have a great respect for in many ways. But some circles of Baptists, I've often asked this question. If someone is to get converted, truly converted, do you want them to convert to be a Baptist or a Christian? Because Jesus didn't create the Baptist denomination, nor did he the Pentecostal, or the Nazarene, or the Methodist. What he did come to do was to set the captive free, to give sight to the blind, to cleanse the leper. That's what he came for. And he's just walking through this village, entering in, and there's these 10 lepers. And you already know this because if you were paying attention, I read it. They're standing away. Their normal position is standing far off. That's their normal position. They can't come near people because they're unclean. That's what they're used to. And if the wind was blowing, they would be probably to where I am, and the lepers would be in the back of the sanctuary. That is close. That's as close as they could get, if not further, because of leprosy. They stood afar off. The position of the leper was to stand far off. I want to just think about the leper for a moment today. With the holidays approaching, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, I've often reflected. You know, we have a tendency to invite those, our own communities, and that there's nothing wrong with that. Don't misunderstand. Last week, like I said, it was beautiful. It's always beautiful to sit down and break bread with the family of God. It's always a beautiful, wonderful thing. Communion, it's beautiful. But when is the last time you or I lived this verse in Luke chapter 14, 13 to 14? When you make a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. And you shall be blessed, for they cannot recompense, they cannot repay you, but thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. I was thinking about this morning in my office, and out of nowhere, a man ran through my head that my mother was friends with. He was a blind man. I don't know if he's still alive, but a handful of years ago, we had him over for Thanksgiving, and his name was Larry Grosta. I had not even thought of that, but I remembered it, and just the joy that it brought at least me and probably my family, my wife, to host this man at Thanksgiving, or to host somebody who actually fits the description of what I just said, someone that you know cannot repay you. We have to be careful that we're not doing things with the expectation of, well, one hand washes the other. That's not a godly mentality. That's a worldly mentality. When you give, you give it cheerfully out of a pure heart, no matter what it is, time, treasure, talent. Give and it shall be given unto you. By who? God. Not one hand washes the other. It's not, I did this for you, so now you do this for me. That's not how God works. That's not kingdom economy. That's a human fleshly mindset. We all have to guard against making the church a club or a clique. Well, this is who we hang out with. The same people come over for dinner all the time for 10 years. This is what we do. These are the families we hang out with. And you know how the rest of the people feel? Guess how they feel? Like lepers. They feel just like these lepers. I can't hang out with that person. And then, you know, the church is guilty, because here's what the church does. Unintentionally, they don't realize they're even doing it. Singles ministry, college and career, silver sneakers. Some of you are laughing because you'd be in the silver sneaker, right? Children's ministry, youth ministry, couples ministry. I've even seen 30 and 40s ministry. So what do you do if you walk in and you're 29? You get kicked out? I mean, really think about this for a minute, what the church has been doing. I love the church. Don't misunderstand me. But do you understand, in our desire to cater Christianity, we are actually separating Christians. There's no such thing as catered Christianity. God came for the lepers. And unintentionally, sometimes we can make people stand afar off. It's okay to be with people in your same boat. I get that. I totally understand that. But we're a family. It's a family of God. Amen. They're standing afar off in verse 13. It says, and listen to what they did. They lifted up their voices. Certainly, they had no shame. They were desperate. They acknowledged, about to acknowledge who Jesus is. They said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Begging for mercy. Their only hope. The only one that can heal. Well, here's what I'm going to tell you today. I'm going to pause. Jesus still heals. Jesus Christ of Nazareth still heals. You may not have realized this. Last week's teaching, he healed someone. Oh, he didn't heal the Samaritan physically, he healed her emotionally, her inner woman. He healed her. Came to heal the brokenhearted. She had a broken heart. She was desperate. She was searching for love in all the wrong places. Until Jesus came, and she was complete. That was a healing. I didn't mention that last week, but it's appropriate for this week. I want to read something to you. This is nothing for me, because let me tell you, I do pray for people for healing. Not crazy. I'm not taking my sports coat off like Benny Hinn. You know, that's craziness. Again, you should, if you know God, you should know the difference between truth and error. This is a woman who I met through the Red Cross, and she occasionally instructs classes for me. I want to read this. She wrote this to me on July 6th. And it has nothing to do with me, although I mentioned. It says, I just wanted to tell you that I have already received a healing immediately, but not related to nodules. She had cancer. My right knee and left shoulder caused pain daily for about the past year and a half. Even touching my knee was painful. I was told I will need a knee replacement eventually. I refused cortisone injections and just put up with pain daily. During the night, I awakened to stretch and straighten my right leg to alleviate the pain. My shoulder only has minimal pain when I reach. After your healing prayer, I had no pain at all. I wanted to wait to tell you until I knew for sure the pain was gone. I actually feel like the cartilage has returned. It all feels normal again. Praise God for his love and mercy. And I just put, that's wonderful news. Praise God. Thank you so much for sharing this with me. God still heals. Jesus still heals today. Now, can I tell you, I've prayed for many people. Most don't get healed when I pray. Because I'm not the healer. I'm the vessel. But don't tell me. Don't tell me, because I won't believe you, that Jesus doesn't heal. I just read it to you. And you know what I did when I prayed for that woman? I just had a little vial of oil. I said, Lana, I want to pray for you. Just took the oil, put it on her forehead, prayed. I don't even know if I prayed for her knee, to be honest with you. I was praying for her cancer. Because Jesus decides who gets healed and what gets healed in them or on them. He's a healer. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He heals people differently throughout the scriptures. He takes mud, he puts it on people's eyes. A woman stretches out and grabs the hem of his garment and she's healed of an issue of blood 12 years. A woman meets him at the well and a broken person becomes whole. He makes all things new. He's Jehovah Rapha, God the healer, the great physician. Do you know, I have a great story to tell you, and then we'll get back directly to this, the text. My former church, feels strange saying that because we're still part of the same, but the former congregation that I used to attend, okay, still love them, by the way, still beautiful people. The pastor, who was my pastor for many years, 20-some-odd years, who I'm still friends with today, you know, when they go to India, they just got back, actually, and they want to help, of course. You come over, and one of the ways you can help sometimes is practically, and my pastor was talking to another gentleman over there in an Indian village, and he had a headache, and he said, they had a big bucket of aspirin that they brought for them, and they said, no, just pray for us, because we want to rely on the Lord. What if we don't have the aspirin? You see, that's the right mentality. That's the right mentality to have. When you get sick, before you go to the doctor, do you take oil, anoint your child or your spouse, and pray over them? That's biblical. It's James. It says go to the elders of the church. Well, yes, when you're in the church, let's do it that way. But you are the priest of your home. You do have the rights given by God to pray over your spouse, over your children. And mom, you have that same right. Go to God first. Go to God first. That's what these lepers are doing. These lepers are just desperate. They're demonstrating their faith by calling out, have mercy on us, acknowledging who Jesus is. Verse 14, and when he saw them, I love that because Jesus saw them. How many times did people overlook these lepers? Not Jesus. Not Jesus. He saw them. He didn't just hear them. He saw them. And Jesus sees you today. And he hears you today. And sometimes you might feel like a leper. You might feel like you're standing far off. I promise you today, you're not. You know, as strange as it or difficult as it might be, sometimes when I'm in my most desperate places, that's when I feel like Jesus is my friend more than any other time. Honestly. That's when I can talk to him just so rawly and openly. Don't have to be scared of anything. He sees you. He hears you. He saw these lepers. He heard these lepers standing afar off. Now listen to what he says. He said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. Well, Leviticus 13 explains the whole process. See, they could confirm that the disease was gone, but they could not heal this condition. Just like a doctor. You go to the doctor, suddenly healing, they're like, well, I don't know what happened. Your cancer is gone. What happened? I don't know. Doctors, I don't know. I could tell you don't have cancer, but I don't know what happened. I do. There's only one that heals. There's only one. It's Jesus. Go show yourselves to the priests. And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. They didn't make it to the priest. Why? Because Jesus is the healer. They just went by faith. They didn't question, well, wait a minute. Because if it was me, I'd say, well, hold on a second. Wait a minute. Do your thing with the eyes or what. Come on. No. Nope. They just were so desperate. Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. Okay, here we go. And as they're going, beautiful skin, no more lesions, no more nerve damage, no more pain, no more sin in the spiritual. When a sinner truly repents, there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. And one of them, here's the Thanksgiving piece, just one of them, just a tithe, just throw my tithe in. See, we got to be careful about that too, because the tithe, we can get, it's just routine, dump, 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 bump, offering, next week, dump, 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 bump, dump, 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 bump, religion. I'm not telling you not to tithe. Tithing is a good spiritual discipline. Giving reflects the character of God. Please don't misunderstand. Offerings on top of the tithe. Please, God's a giving God. Give and give more. Give joyfully. But we have to be careful in the condition in which we give. God cares about your heart. He doesn't need your money. He just doesn't need it. He teaches his children through the practice of tithing and offering and giving. I mean, put yourself in this position for a minute. Just think about this. And I don't want to digress, but just think about this. Because this is Thanksgiving in relation to giving thanks. And there's only one leper that came back. When you're in a situation where you have a tithe and somebody is desperate or in a great need and you give it to them, missionary or non-missionary, you think Jesus sits there like a cop and said, pulls you over? Says, hold on a second, sir. You didn't give your tithe to this church, and so here's your ticket. Here's your fine. No. No. Tithe means 10%. Yes. And I've heard all the arguments, Malachi, this and that, everything. Listen, God loves a cheerful giver. Don't give begrudgingly or out of necessity. That's it. 10% is just a marker. It's just a marker. And it goes beyond just money. Don't think you can buy your way out of service. Well, I tithe. When's the last time you did anything in the church? Well, I tithe. So what? Again, it goes back to your heart. It goes back to our heart, our condition. One of them turns back when he was healed and with a loud voice glorified God. Could you imagine what it would be like to be cured of this disease? Could you imagine? And fell down on his face, verse 16, at his feet, giving him thanks. And the text says, and he was a Samaritan. Here it is again. Jesus, Samarian Samaritans, he uses them so much in the New Testament. He was a Samaritan. Fell down, probably, who knows, tears. Just set free from this horrible, incurable at that time disease. And Jesus answered, verse 17, said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Do you know what this tells me about this specific passage and text? The other 9, they wanted the hand of God, but they didn't want the face of God. They wanted the miracle, they wanted the healing, but they didn't want to have the communion, the relationship. The person of Jesus. They didn't want that. They just wanted what Jesus could offer them, the benefits. And that still plagues the church today. The Jeremiah says, if any man glory, Jeremiah 9:24, let him glory in this, that he knows me. That he knows me. That's what you can glory in. That you know Jesus. Not what he gives you, not what he can do for you. Yeah, you know, when I was in Kenya last time, we were speaking to a group of pastors and leaders, and I said, why do you keep telling the people you're going to get to that next level, you're going to break through? What if they don't? In fact, I'm going to tell you this, conditions may get worse for you. Does that change your position with Jesus? Does that change your desire to draw close to God? Or do you just want to be cleansed? You just want the miracle, you just want the healing, but you don't want Jesus. You have no thanksgiving for what he's done for you. You have no thanksgiving for him. It's what he can do for you. And when he doesn't do for you, you don't worship him. Like these lepers. There's no thanksgiving of the nine. They're just so happy that that heinous condition is healed, they forget the healer. Isn't that amazing? Every parent can relate to that, can't they? Give your kid everything you got. And sometimes, not even a thanks. You know what amazes me? Not Dom, okay, because he goes to North Star. I'm going to call it, but it amazed me. Last year, I was at North Star, and one of my jobs was to open up the door in the morning. Well, I would just do that, okay, because it's polite. Open up the door in the morning for the students, and it amazed me how many kids walked by. You know what they said? Nothing. The nothing train. Nothing. Saying thank you. This is what I tell people. Saying thank you. I try to teach my kids this, and I'm sure I err in a kid. Saying thank you should be like breathing. Someone does something for you, guess what you say? Thank you. It's a practice in thanksgiving. Thank you so much. But these lepers, there was only one who had that heart. Verse 18, there are none found that return to give glory to God. Why? They didn't want God, they just wanted the healing. Except this stranger. Isn't that amazing? Stranger in relation to who you think these Samaritans are. You think they're strangers. They're not. These are the ones that are demonstrating their faith. This Samaritan demonstrated his faith in his falling down and giving glory to God. I have a feeling he would have done it even if he wasn't healed. So how can you give thanks even if you're not healed? Do you know sometimes the miracle in somebody's life is the trial itself? The miracle is the trial itself. It's the only way God will bring you low enough to worship him and to honor him and to serve him and to not just seek his hand, but his face and his heart. Last verse. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith, your faith, has made thee whole. Thank you for that, amen. Praise God. Your faith. I love that. You know why? That speaks of relationship. This man really believed. He really believed that Jesus could heal him. And he did. And he didn't just heal the one that wanted his face. He even healed the ones that just wanted his hand. That's how good God is. How good is God? Inexplainably good. See, unthankfulness breeds selfishness and self-centeredness. Thankfulness breeds selflessness and adoration and worship, like this one cleansed leper. Romans 1:21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Sounds like the country we live in, doesn't it? That's Romans 1:21, by the way. It is because of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions can fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Lamentations 3:22. Were there not 10 cleansed? I wrote just a small list to end. Just a small list of 10 things I'm thankful for. Very basic. I could probably write hundreds, if not thousands, if I really took the time. I just wrote down 10. And I would ask you, as I ask myself, to think about if we said thanks for any of these things recently. Number one, your health. Number two, family. Number three, friends. The lepers didn't have any. They only had themselves. Number four, freedom. Freedom in this country, more importantly, freedom in Christ. Number five, transportation. Number six, food. You know, there's been times raising a family, I've always had food. We may not have had enough for more groceries or groceries. We may have lived, give us a stay our daily bread, my wife and I at times, but never have we lacked food. And I'm sure I could say the same for you. Shelter. Shelter. Clothing. Gathering for worship. Clean water. Kind of changes everything when you start to thank God for things that we overlook, doesn't it? Kind of changes us. Starts to give us the heart of God when we have an attitude of gratitude, as you've heard. And I think that's the reason why we sail over Thanksgiving. I really do, because we live in an unthankful society. Let's just sail over it. Let's go right to Thanksgiving, or let's go right to Christmas, even though we celebrate Christmas in no way, shape, or form that represents our Messiah, our Savior. A lot to be thankful for, and a lot to learn from this account of the 10 lepers. We're not 10 cleansed. Never forget the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ. What can wash away our sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The timeless hymn still applies today. Beautiful, isn't it? It's beautiful. And as I said last week, even though, because I was fooled all last week, I thought Tom was going to come up and Alma had a plan to come up, but I think this week it's Tom. Like I said, no matter how hard, convicting, challenging the word might be, don't worry. Joyful Tom will come up with a big smile and end it in a spirit of merriness. So that's beautiful. But I want to encourage you this week and this month to just be thankful. It's a beautiful thing when you hear your children start out their prayer with thanks because their parents did. It's a beautiful thing. Be a thankful people. Be a thankful people today, this week, this month, each and every day. God has given us so graciously on this earth because it's because of his mercies that we're not consumed. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your healing power. Thank you, Lord, for your blood sacrifice. You are good and worthy to be praised. As we end with a song to worship you, Lord, let us have thankful and joyful hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.